Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, October 28th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, we had... We had a pretty nice day in gold today. And it's interesting because after FBI Director Comey announced that he was going to reopen the investigation of Hillary's emails, gold responded with the realization that, hey, there's a bigger possibility that Trump will be elected. And, you know, with her being the Wall Street lover of all, markets reacted. Gold at one point was up $20. Stocks turned negative after the report of this new probe. And... a lot of these analysts are saying that the markets were already pricing in the Clinton victory in November. So this afternoon, CNBC reported that Comey explained the latest development in a letter. He said in previous congressional testimony, he referred to the fact that the FBI had completed its investigation of Secretary Clinton's personal email server, but due to recent developments, he was writing to supplement his previous testimony. And this is in connection with an unrelated case. The FBI has learned of the existence of emails that appear to be pertinent to the investigation. And he was writing to inform them that the investigation team had briefed him on this yesterday. And he agreed that the FBI should take appropriate investigative steps. So they are reopening. He is a little unsure yet whether the material is significant. So that's a pretty big comment right there. But the letter was addressed to several lawmakers who held committee hearings on the issue. NBC News reported a Clinton campaign spokesman responded to the news with, "We have no idea what's going on." No idea whatsoever. But certainly this is, and we'll have to see. Let's see how the news media handles it this weekend. Remember when they released the information on Trump and his locker room banter? It was, you know, 20
big news.
20
news
big
for news the ages
all weekend long. It wasn't anything else for 3-4 days, yep. Constant. So we'll see if this same thing happens with Hillary. We could probably take bets, and most likely, I think it will this time.
Is that sort of wagering legal, Melody?
If I want it to be. If I want it to be.
I went grocery shopping this morning, and I was much surprised when I was standing in line to pay for the groceries. They had those tabloid publications there alongside. that I would never buy, Melody. I'd read it if somebody else had a copy, but I would never actually buy one myself. But in any case, there's the National Enquirer. And it had front page headline. Some story about one of Hillary's hired hitmen. And I thought to myself, that just impressed me from the perspective. I don't know that the public, there's a lot of people who think Hillary's going to win this, and maybe she will, but I don't think she can possibly win if she doesn't cheat and steal votes out of the voting booths and whatever. But I think Trump is going to go in there, and when you see the National Enquirer talking about Hillary's hitman, I mean, this indicates that the understanding that Hillary is not on the up and up, it's throughout the body politic. It's people who didn't graduate from eighth grade understand that Hillary's a crook, and maybe worse. So I don't know where it's all going to go, but for me it was a signal that contempt for Hillary may be far more extensive than a lot of people believe right now.
Well, the media is the media, and the newspapers, and, you know, tabloids are tabloids. And, I mean, Ivanka is married to a man who owns a major publication. I'm not sure if the Enquirer is part of it and so forth. So, I mean, you still even have newspapers that would be more pro-Trump than pro-Clinton and so forth. But, hey, dead bodies will always get someone to read the headlines and so forth in today's world. So, you know, I think this is a big development by the FBI Director Comey. We'll have to see where it heads. We'll have to see if he finds, enough meat in order to charge her. And this is coming out, you know, they talked about an October surprise. Governor Pence was interviewed this morning on one of the news programs, and they did ask him, and this was before this all broke, and they asked him about the October surprise, and he just had this little smile on his face, so he knew nothing was said and anything, but was this the October surprise that they were calling about will be breaking? Possible, but we still have a couple more days in the month of October, so... But certainly, I would think this would kill anyone's campaign. You would think that this would sink her. Stocks began to sink after this new email review by the FBI. And let me go ahead and do the market report now. We did see a calming of the markets from that initial jump. We had gold hitting a high of 1285 today. After that report was given, it was up a couple bucks this morning, but it just took off to 1285. Right now we're at 1276, up 740, $1,276. We saw the same reaction in silver. It's up 18 cents at $17.87. Platinum was up 17 at $984. And palladium was up 7 at $622. The USDX today, let me get that out of my way here. Let me bring that up right here. It actually, unless it had a reversal, ended the week in negative territory for the first time in 4 weeks. You had the USDX down 0.52 at 98.39. Crude oil was down 0.97 at 48.75. And the paper markets today, they recovered. They were down. They were flat all day, basically, up a little bit, down a little bit. The Dow, 18,161, down 8. The NASDAQ was down 25 at 51.90, and the S&P was down 6 at 21.26. 10-year yield, we're going to talk about bonds here shortly. The 10-year yield, 1.84%, and the euro, stronger, of course, with a little pressure, but not much bigger than the dollar, was down 0.76 to the upside at 110, and European markets and Asian markets basically unchanged overnight. So there is a lot of things that are going on, and certainly that was the big news of the day. The second news of the day was the U.S. GDP. Now, we knew this was going to be a good number. I didn't think it'd be this good. 2.9%. The U.S. economy expanded at a 2.9% annual rate from July through September, compared with the same time a year ago. This is the fastest economic growth in 2 years. Well, this would have been great for Hillary. So this news kind of got squashed with the FBI director's Comey's news. So while the economy gained momentum in the third quarter, this year still comes in at 1.7%. It's still slow compared with historical standards. In the third quarter, inventory accumulation added 0.61% to GDP, while trade added 0.83% to growth. But these are the most volatile components of the report. So if you take out these elements, the yield's annualized GDP growth is just 1.4%. So they're saying that the American shopper is still continuing to drive growth for this third quarter. Business spending was a little bit less of a drag. But this is what I found interesting, and they talk about our export. Another big boost to growth in the quarter was trade. And we all know this is a big issue for Trump. And, you know, with his threatened tariffs against Mexico and China and tear up the free trade deals like NAFTA. Yay for him. Exports grew by 10% in the quarter. Now, this is the best pace in nearly 3 years. But it was in the shipments of soybeans.
We're shipping soybeans?
We ship a lot of soybeans. That's a huge market. But the soybeans explained much of the increase in exports. And guess who is the biggest buyer of U.S. soybeans? It is China.
Probably China.
Yes. American agricultural exports to China have increased by 200% over the past decade. And so we have a pickup in exports, but it's not going to last. It's just a temporary boost. And, I mean, you just can't keep shipping these whole heaps of soybeans. I started looking into China's soybean purchases, and I know they play the market in soybeans. They can whack the price. They go in and they buy up a bunch. But when you have their population that is beginning to eat a little more meat, you know, their diets are changing. They're becoming westernized a little bit, and soybeans are used a lot for cattle feed. You can see why their increase in soybeans is continuing. So I think it was Brazil that actually sells more soybeans to China than the U.S., but the U.S. is catching up. And it's interesting that even, I guess Brazil had a pretty bad crop this year because of drought and so forth, but Brazil is part of the BRIC nations, you know, so you know China has special agreements with them and their soybeans. So that was interesting with the GDP numbers. We knew it would be good prior to the election. I didn't think it would be that good, but it was. You also have next week is going to be an interesting week. You have a lot of the central banks that'll be talking about rate increases. I think you have the you have our bank, you have the Federal Reserve, I think you have the Bank of China, and the European. They all will be discussing any rate increases or decreases. So next week is our Federal Reserve, so that's going to be big news coming out most likely Tuesday or Wednesday. It's Bank of Japan, the Fed, and the Bank of England. So, again, right before the election. So,
well, we don't expect the Federal Reserve to actually increase the interest rate just days before the election. True?
I wouldn't expect so, but it's going to be a hard argument for them to say, what are they waiting for? I mean, with today's GDP numbers and every other lie that they produced, it's kind of hard for them to say, well, unless they actually say we're going to wait until after the election, so then December would be a given. I mean, a lot can happen until next week. You can have the markets begin to tank and so forth, but they have absolutely no reason not to raise it. I don't think they will, but anyway.
Well, last time we had a significant crash in the following month. They raised it in December and January. We had significant downturn in the markets. Assuming they raise it right now, they raise it this next week, beginning of the week, it's not impossible that they could cause the market to drop significantly before the election. I would think And it's not impossible that they could raise interest rates and for whatever reason the market might rise. And I think they would prefer just to stay out of it because no matter what happens, they're going to get blamed. If the market works to help Hillary, the Republicans are going to blame the Federal Reserve for playing politics because they, you did that in order to help Hillary. And if the markets, if whatever they do helps Trump, the Democrats will be on their case. They're in a no-win. They're in a no-win position right now. And probably their best move is just wait another month. And then they can do it and nobody's going to blame them for what happens exactly. At least not for having a political effect.
I mean, even this year, the numbers that have been produced are far greater, better than what they were a year ago. I mean, you had a lot of problems with China going into the U.S. increasing the rate that quarter point. This year, it's all markets are great. So there's absolutely no reason why they shouldn't do it next
week. Except they'll get blamed.
Except for the election. Plus with the emails with Hillary, that would pretty much cancel her whole deal. Consumer confidence dropped more than previously reported to match the lowest level since 2014. With Americans less upbeat about both current and future conditions in the weeks, of course, before the election. The University of Michigan said today that its final index of sentiment fell to 87.2 from 91.2 in September.
Sentiment for what?
Consumer sentiment.
Oh. They're getting sentimental about consuming? We have sentimental consumers now? Is that what's happening? Are the voters going to be sentimental?
Well, why don't you answer that question, Al?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for the question. I find the questions more interesting than the answers. Generally speaking, you pose these questions, and there's a certain amount of art to posing questions.
Anyway, the drop in the sentiment suggests that consumer spending may continue to moderate after a separate report. And this was the report that when the GDP was released, they used that the separate report showed that it was less of a driver for the third quarter economic growth than in the previous period. So, two different reports, they contrast. So again, it's just more confusion for a lot of the investors who tend to follow this information, Alfred.
I think one of the things you were talking earlier about FBI Director Comey has say, oops, I'm going to amend my report, and maybe there is a little bit more to investigate here about Hillary. That means somebody leaned on him hard. I don't know what he's been threatened with, but I can't imagine that he let Hillary skate except on condition of receiving some sort of a substantial bribe to him, his wife, his kids. Somebody got some money out of the deal. I can't believe Comey just wrote this, did what he did innocently. All right? But now he's coming back, so, oh, wait a second, maybe we do have some more to investigate. And what that tells me, the significance of that from my perspective, somebody has leaned on Comey. And it must be the Republicans, and they've leaned on him hard, and they've said, you better come up with the truth on this thing, or because we know it, you're gonna produce it publicly, or we're gonna drag you in, we're gonna put you in prison. I don't know that that's what happened, but some sort of serious pressure, to my mind, had to be exerted on Comey, and what it means is even though Comey may do little or nothing, all right, open up the investigation, fine, and then, well, once again, we find nothing, no reason to criticize Mrs. Clinton. It could go that way, but the fact that they even open it again, even if nothing comes of it, for a lot of people, it will be deemed evidence that there's still a fire back there. They can see plenty of smoke. There is a significant fire, and they're going to understand. If they don't understand already, Hillary is in it up to her ears.
Well, if there weren't all these emails released by WikiLeaks, he wouldn't have anything to go on anyway. I mean, if none of those emails were released by WikiLeaks, he wouldn't be reopening it. But you can't tell me with the emails that have been released, I mean, she's guilty of sin, just the ones that have been given to the public. He almost had to do something. Somebody had to do something. Someone had to address it. And we
He may have been facing a revolt within the FBI itself. But let's take a break. A couple of commercials. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Many, many people have experienced the benefits of drinking all-natural life-change tea. The unique blend of 8 herbs helps detoxify your body so you can live a healthier life. Numerous testimonies have been given about the benefits of drinking life-change tea. So, are you drinking life-change tea? Interested? Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Many are so impressed with our product, they order a year's supply. And why not? When they do, they receive 2 months free. That's a $70 savings. The body is meant to heal itself. Sometimes a body just needs a little help. Get the tea at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. This is not an ordinary green tea, and it's not available in stores. This tea helps with digestive problems, acid reflux, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and as talk show host Jerry Doyle says, it'll make you as regular as a baby bird. Enjoy your life. Get life change tea at getthetea.com.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and the program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
This will be the last day weekend. We have 10 of those packages left over. We sold quite a few, and we only have 10 of those packages of the 20 brilliant uncirculated peace dollars. And, of course, the 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle for $710. And, again, these are still prices based on the lower gold and silver. From, what, a week ago, 2 weeks ago that I started offering this very, very good special. So $710, we got 10 of these packages left. 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You can listen to these programs that are archived. We are trying to update our website. So if you see changes or something a little different with the archives, we are trying to update our website. So if something is not working properly, please let me know. And it will still be a little while before it totally gets revamped. You know, a couple of weeks, I would guess. So just let us know. But in the meantime, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com.
Got an article here from the Hacker News, which a lot of people would ask, and I'm going to explain why I think this is relevant to Financial Survival in a moment. In fact, I've got two articles from Hacker News, and they both point in a particular direction, and I'll tell you why I think that's relevant to Financial Survival in a moment. The headline is, "This code injection technique can potentially attack all versions of Windows." Guess what? If you own a Windows PC, which is fully patched, attackers can still hack your computer. Isn't that scary? Well, definitely for most of you. Security researchers have discovered a new technique that could allow attackers to inject malicious code on every version of Microsoft Windows operating program, even Windows 10, in a manner that no existing anti-malware tools can detect. Alright? And this potential threatens millions of PCs worldwide. Dubbed atom bombing, the technique does not exploit any vulnerability, but abuses a design weakness in Windows. It attacks the system-level atom tables, a feature of Windows that allows applications to store information on strings, objects, and other types of data to access on a regular basis. And since atom are shared tables, all sorts of applications can access or modify data inside those tables. Well, this is a fundamental design fact of the Windows operating system, and someone's found a way to exploit it. What's worse, all versions of Windows operating systems, including Microsoft's newest Windows 10, are affected. What's even worse, there is no fix at this moment. Microsoft cannot patch the issue without changing the entire operating system. This is not a feasible solution, so there is no notion of a patch. Somebody's found a way to get at everybody's Microsoft computer globally, apparently. Millions and millions of computers, and we can just imagine if it was launched against all Microsoft computers at the same time, what would the result be? Your computer stops working, mine stops working, and so on, and it sweeps the country. It wouldn't happen in an instant, but it might happen in waves over a period of, who knows, hours, days, I don't know, but it's at least conceivable. It's one of the reasons I've got three computers sitting on my desk. One of them's Linux. Other people I know, Melody uses Apple. I like the Linux computer. It's not as good as I like the operating system. It's not as good as Windows 10, but I don't like Microsoft. I still use Windows 10. I have it on two computers and Linux on one. But this is more reason to move your computers, change them from a Windows operating system to something like Linux or Apple, and perhaps you can avoid. Because if they can take down millions of computers at a time, you can bet they're going to do it. Right? It's going to happen. It might not happen for several years, might not happen for a few more days. I don't know when it's going to happen, but you can bet it will happen. And especially there's nothing to prevent it. Here's the second article. You can hijack nearly any drone mid-flight using this tiny gadget. Big news, Melody. Now you can hijack nearly any drone mid-flight by just using this tiny gadget. That's the headline and also the first sentence of the article. Security researcher Jonathan Anderson has devised a small hardware dubbed Icarus that can hijack a variety of popular drones mid-flight, allowing attackers to lock the owner out and give them complete control over the device. Now, you listen to stories like this. This device has the capability, according to this article, of fully hijacking a wide variety of radio-controlled devices, including helicopters, cars, boats, and other remote control gears that run on the most popular wireless transmission control protocol called DSMX. You look at this, and you see that people can capture these little drones. You're out flying, you buy one of these drones, you're flying it with your kid, you're doing whatever you're doing, and all of a sudden it takes off with a mind of its own because somebody has captured your drone. All right, that's irritating, it's surprising, but what about police drones? What about military drones? What about the drones that carry missiles or machine guns? How long before some high school kid figures out how to hijack an armed police drone and use it to strafe the high school? In fact, while we're cogitating on how long before high schools can steal police drones, why don't we cogitate on how long before criminals can use drones to rob a bank, businesses and individuals walking down the street. What are you going to do when a drone flies up in your face with some sort of a weapon and says, hand over your wallet? It's got to happen. I mean, it's not something I'm recommending. It's not something I'm looking forward to for sure. But it would be astonishing to me if we didn't hear that story within the next several years. What do all these cogitations have to do with financial survival? All right, this is an oddball. These are two oddball stories coming out of the Hacker News, which you wouldn't think has much application to financial survival. But for me, the answer is this. The world is becoming increasingly unstable and unpredictable. New technologies are developing every day that have the potential to collapse the financial, monetary, and economic systems. Children are developing technologies in basements or garages that could accidentally or intentionally shake the digital earth. It seems highly probable that one or more of these new technologies will eventually cause a collapse in our digital monetary system and our digital economic system. If the digital economy implodes, you can bet that your digital dollars and your digital cryptocurrencies will disappear. In the event of a real economic collapse, our economic activities will inevitably devolve back to a more primitive system. They'll go back to old school basics. And what that ultimately means is people will shift back and they'll say, I'll give you several ounces of gold for your house. All right, 10, 20, whatever it is. But we're headed back. If this digital thing goes down, and it virtually has to, it is too unstable. It's open to anyone who wants to get into it and knows how to hack into computers. It's vulnerable, vulnerable, vulnerable. And, you look at this and say, how long can it be before your bank accounts gets looted? Or how long can it be before your internet connection and or your computer are shut down? This is going to happen, and the adverse effects will be massive. They'll impact the entire economy. They'll impact the monetary system. And what are you going to do to protect yourself? So maybe I hope that makes a little bit of sense as an explanation. But sometimes I wind up bringing in articles to talk about on the program that are, out of left field. But the point is that we live in a world where left field is growing bigger all the time and more unstable, more unpredictable, and sooner or later we're going to have a problem. And if we do, it'll be a good idea to have some gold and silver.
We always go back to basics. Whenever there's a situation, how many times through your lifetime? I've said it many times, it's time to get back to basics. Every time you stray away from those basics, this is what happens. This is the world that we've created, and we've strayed away from the basics of gold and silver coins, and here we are today. And the internet, the hacking, I think I already heard of stories where an automobile was taken over by a hacker in some form or another. So I think some of these stories are already here. In this article, and it shows just how fragile.
Yeah, that's the point.
How fragile, and there's no backup for anything.
Well, there's backup if you get gold and silver as your backup. You got something tangible that can't disappear.
I'm talking about these systems.
Oh, I know. These things go down.
And it's all digital. Someone asked me today, well, what about Bitcoin? No. It will not work. You can't use Bitcoin. Oh, I guess it works when everything else is perfect. But I don't think we live in that perfect world anymore.
Well, we don't. We live in a world that moves so quickly. We talked about this yesterday. We had, on Wednesday, we had an article where major banks are beginning to pile up Bitcoin that they can use to pay as ransom money when hackers grab hold and take control of the bank computers. So, all right, they're anticipating. They know we can't protect the computer from the hackers. Sooner or later, they're going to get the hack. They're going to bust into the computer. They're going to destroy files or lock it down where they won't be. So they're going to have Bitcoin on hand where they say, how about we give you some Bitcoin? hacker,
and
then you go away and you let us go. They're preparing to pay blackmail on this, and the implication is we're not talking about somebody who's got a little computer like the one sitting on my desk. We're talking about people that have large mainframe computers that handle significant sums of money, and they don't even think they can protect their computers from hackers. And I don't think they can either. I think this whole thing is so fragile, it's just a question of time before some 16-year-old kid comes up with some insight or invention, and he says, oh, I think I can shut down the whole internet. Will that be cool or what? And he will. It might only be shut down for a day or two or a couple hours. I don't know. Right? But he'll do it as a prank. He'll do it because, you know, it's like Sir Edmund Hillary, if I recall correctly, asked him, why did you climb Mount Everest? And he said, because it's there. Right? That probably goes back to the 50s, maybe even earlier than that. Because it's there. Why did you hack into the internet? Why did you take the internet down? Because it's there. That's sufficient reason for a lot of kids.
We already know hospitals have been held for ransom. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is banks, they're willing to be prepared for the hacking than try to fix the problem. And that's what irritates me about Microsoft. They've made billions and billions and billions of dollars knowing full well they sell them to people like us who buy them up and use them for personal laptops and personal computers, knowing the problem, knowing it's going to happen, and they don't bother fixing the problem.
Well, they can't. That's the point here. This is not a vulnerability. In the first article we had, this is not about somebody's
it's
got a little
too big to
flaw
fix.
In the program.
No, it's too big
this
to
is
fix.
The way the programs are made. This is a fundamental design element, and someone has realized how to exploit that design element, and you cannot simply patch this. You can't just make a repair where
Microsoft,
they said, oh, they're breaking in through this little hole right here. We'll patch this little hole and we'll be fine. No.
If I'm not mistaken, Microsoft always had that flaw. We've known for years
flaws. Well, it hasn't been known up until now.
They had a flaw into their system. And that's why they always get so many bugs and viruses and so forth.
No, that's not exactly what it is. This is something, according to the report I'm reading, this has been recognized for the first time just in the last little while. Of this fundamental flaw that's inherent in the design, which means you've got to completely redesign the programs. Not go from Windows 8.1 to 9 to 10 or wherever you're going with this thing. No. This has got to go to something, a completely new system. That's the implication in order to avoid the problem that we're seeing, at least the potential problem. You don't know how much of this is true, how much of this is hype. Maybe it's all much ado about nothing, but if it is, the story is still true about something else. Someone is going to see a fundamental flaw. And it might be some kid, some 16-year-old kid. Right? He's going to see something, and all of a sudden he's going to connect a couple of dots, and the next thing you know, you're not going to be able to access your email, and neither will I, or Melody, or whatever. We'll all be shut down because some kid had brains enough to see something that the rest of us have overlooked up until now. And this is inherent in the idea that we have some kind of massive system that hundreds of millions of people can access. If it's easy enough for hundreds of millions of people to access this system cannot fully protect itself from a sophisticated attack. It just can't. If you got it locked down, if your computer isn't on the internet, or only you're tied into five other computers in your total system, they can't get them. All right, you're reasonably safe. But if you're on the internet, you're vulnerable, and the whole world depends on the internet. If it goes down, then there's going to be a problem, and it's not likely to be merely an inconvenience. All right, where we say, there goes Yahoo again. They knocked down. I can't get to my email today. Isn't that annoying? No, it's bigger than that. It might be that the whole system goes down. And then what?
There goes your money, folks.
It's not just your money. It's your water supply, your gasoline supply,
the food
that's coming to your grocery store. I mean, the whole system is so dependent on computers right now, and particularly Microsoft, that, if anything happens. And it's just one of those things. Therefore, gold and silver are an insurance policy. You look at it and say, yes, this is fragile. I don't know that it's going to break down, but it could. And therefore, how do you protect yourself? Well, maybe one of the ways is you get yourself some gold, get yourself some silver, and if your computer stops working, you can sit back and count your gold coins and still get some food. All right, if you can get somebody to ship it into town, but you have a chance. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedars from On Financial Survival. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Got an email today. 10 Reasons to Vote Democrat by David Letterman. I cut it down to 5 reasons. Won't have time to do all 10 of them. But number 5 is I vote Democrat because I love the fact that I can now marry whatever I want. I've decided to marry my German Shepherd. Number 4, I vote Democrat because I believe oil companies' profits of 4% on a gallon of gasoline are obscene, but the government taxing the same gasoline at 15% is quite all right. 3, I vote Democrat because I believe the government will do a better job of spending the money I earn than I would. 4, I vote Democrat, I vote Democrat because freedom of speech is fine so long as nobody's offended by it. And number 1, I vote Democrat because I think illegal aliens have a right to free health care, education, and Social Security benefits, and we should take away Social Security from those who paid for it. So that's Letterman's 5, which hope it amuses you, it amuses me. And here's one more comment from Albert Einstein, which it's clever, it's humorous. The difference between genius and stupidity is that genius has its limits. Right? There's no limit on stupidity, but genius, you can only go so far. Stupidity, it'll go around the world and into outer space. Extraordinary. And, you know, how many idiots do we really have that are in positions of power in this country who are not geniuses? And manage to acquire positions of power anyway. and may actually be stupid. They're up there. They've certainly been up there. Anyone who follows politics a little bit, you understand we have some real morons. They show up from time to time. They don't get a lot of press, but we've got some real morons in Washington right now. And we always have. So, I don't know. There's a limit on genius, but there's no limit on stupidity. And what kind of what can the government's stupidity do to you? What can they do to your bank account? What can they do to your pension fund, to your monetary system? What can their stupidity do? Yeah, assuming it just is stupidity and it's not treachery. But it's another one of those reasons you look at this, or at least from my perspective, you look at it, I look at it, and I say, you know, this thing is flaky. This is fragile. You got to do what you can to protect yourself. What's next, Melody?
Well, the people in Zimbabwe, they didn't have the opportunity to protect themselves.
Well, they had the
and
opportunity.
Everybody,
they'd be dumb.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty poor country, so you know, yeah. A lot of them were unable to protect themselves. And those that were working, they worked and worked and worked, but they couldn't buy anything. I remember speaking to a lady who was from Zimbabwe, and she had to go outside, leave her family to work. Because they're just, you worked and worked and worked. You were working 80 hours a week, and you couldn't buy a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
So she had to leave her family, her babies, her children, and work outside the country.
Got an article here from sovereignman.com. about Zimbabwe, and it says Zimbabwe is about to have another go at conjuring paper money out of thin air. And he says, I'm sure this time it will be different. You know, everything blew up in their face the last time, 10 years ago, when it all, or even maybe it was even less than that, but no more than 10 years or thereabouts, that they went through their extraordinary episode with fiat currency that became hyperinflated. At one point, it was allegedly, when it peaked, its inflation rate was something like 500 billion percent. All right, we talk about, the government's trying to cause a 3% inflation rate. And Zimbabwe, here in the United States right now, and Zimbabwe had a 500 billion percent inflation rate at its peak. And they're just pointing out, the whole thing is stupid, and you wonder how, you know, no limit to stupidity. These people have apparently forgotten this whole thing blew up in their face just a few years ago, and now they're going to give it another go. Says you know the story. Starting in the 1990s, Zimbabwe's government policies under Robert Mugabe began to show some devastating effects. A confiscated private party from the established, mostly white farmers, and redistributed the land in very tiny tracts to his supporters, most of whom had no experience in farming. Unsurprisingly, Zimbabwe's once booming agriculture exports collapsed almost overnight. You know, unemployment and inflation skyrocketed. Retail prices doubled in 2001. Things were just getting started. Inflation rose so quickly that the government was having to constantly print new denominations of currency. They started with a $1 Zimbabwe dollar note. They moved to $1,000 Zimbabwe dollar notes, then 10,000, then million, then finally trillion Zimbabwean dollar notes, and many of the people listening to the program may have one as a souvenir. Real, huh? Trillion dollar notes. That's what happens when you get into hyperinflation. Pardon me?
I have two of them.
Save them. Be like Confederate money or something. They may be worth something. Or Iranian. Or what is it? Is it the Iraqi or Iranian? Iraqi dinars.
Oh, the Iraqi dinar. Don't get me started.
Uh-huh. Yeah, those in the Zimbabwean, you hang on to your Zimbabwean and your Iraqi dinars, because they're going to be worth a fortune one of these days. Hyperinflation, 2007, hyperinflation was so bad that prices were doubling roughly every day. They tell a story here where people would go in to have a couple of drinks or beers in the bar at night. And they'd have a couple of beers, and after a couple of beers, the bartender would come along and tell them that the price of the beer had just increased by 50%. A couple more beers increases another 50%. prices were moving like the dial on a gas pump down at 7-Eleven or whatever, just raising. And 2009 it ended. The government stopped printing money and Zimbabwe became a hard currency economy. Zimbabwe used the US dollars and other currencies as their national currency. The Zimbabwean dollar basically disappeared. But if hyperinflation causes people to seek a hard currency, alright, what's actually harder than gold or silver? If you see reason or evidence to believe that hyperinflation is headed your way, history suggests that gold and silver are going to help preserve your wealth where just about anything else you look at will not succeed. The Zimbabwe dollar is gone, but it hasn't solved the country's problems. People in power across the world, including North America and Europe, rely on this incredibly limited playbook. They're talking about the central bank's playbook. There's only so much they can do. They think they can engineer prosperity by going into debt and conjuring money out of thin air. And, he's just saying, the article is just pointing out, look, it didn't work for Zimbabwe. It's not going to work here. Oh, we may be able to sustain it longer, where people begin to think, oh, this makes sense. I know it sounds crazy, but look how long it's worked. You know, it's worked. We've had a pure fiat currency since 1971. We've got, what's that translating? 29, 39, 45 years. It's worked for 45 years. Why can't it go for 46 or 7 or 57 or 107? And the truth is, we have an economy that's something like the Queen Mary. It's like an enormous ship. It doesn't stop on a dime. It doesn't turn on a dime. It has incredible momentum, and you can do some very dumb things, and the ship will continue to plow ahead. The same thing with the American economy. You can do some very dumb things, and the economy will continue to plow ahead based on nothing more than momentum. And some people will look at that and say, see, that proves that our theory on negative interest rates or our theory on debt-based monetary system, it makes perfect sense because the economy is still functioning, see? Well, the truth is, it doesn't make sense. And it may be a little, the reaction time may be slower than what we might expect or like and what you're used to seeing in your daily affairs. But still, there is a cause, there is an effect, there is a certain element of inevitability in all of this. And they've done it in Zimbabwe, they're going to do it again, and they're going to do it in this country too. Because the article concludes, they simply print more money, pass more laws, and go deeper into debt. This whole thing is about debt, 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 and more debt. And we harp on it, I do anyway, on this program for years. It can't be paid. Can't pay the total debt. It isn't going to happen. It's not going to be paid in full. And it can't be repudiated, because if you repudiate it, you destroy the correlative bonds, the correlative paper debt instruments that we are using as if they were assets in our bank vaults and our pension funds and our savings deposit boxes. You cancel the debt, you cancel the correlative bond. Right? We can't cancel the debt, we can't pay the debt. What are we going to do? We are going to have a collapse of the sort we saw in Zimbabwe. That's all that can happen here. There is no soft landing headed our way. We're not going to just walk away from this. We're not going to put somebody in the White House or some new person, new face in the Federal Reserve and, oh, we've got a problem here and we're going to hire a genius and they're going to straighten out the problem. The only way you could straighten out this problem is with a time machine. And maybe there's some 16-year-old kid out there who is more interested in building a time machine than he is in hacking into the internet or the government computers or whatever, and I hope maybe we can get a time machine that goes back in time and we prevent this country from going to a fiat currency. But when we went to a debt-based monetary system, we got into something that was just incredible, deadly, dangerous, you know, and now our geese are almost sautéed. We haven't quite cooked them yet, but we're coming to that moment, and almost everyone understands it, and what are you going to do? If you can see the problem, if you agree with us that the problem, the big problem, traces back to a debt-based monetary system instead of an asset-based monetary system, then it doesn't take, you don't need to be a genius exactly to say, you know, let's see, if we used to have an asset-based monetary system and now we have a debt-based monetary system, and the debt-based currency and the debt-based monetary system is going to lead us to great trouble, or at least that's where it, the way it appears. If you agree with that, then what's the solution? The solution is to go back to an asset-based monetary system. Now, it's true that the government isn't going to go back there easily, and not unless it's just you're going to have to put a gun to the government's head to make them go back to gold and silver. They will, circumstances will have to be incredibly dangerous, painful. If somebody like Trump is going to get elected, someone's going to come in from left field like Trump, and he's going to get elected, and he says, I'm going to make the money be backed by gold and silver again. And people say, oh, you're crazy, but he's going to get elected, and he's going to get it done. Well, that would get the country back headed in the right direction, but even then, we're not going to have an instant solution. But my point, the larger point, is that insofar as government will be reluctant to restore an asset-based monetary system to this country, and when I say reluctant, I mean they'll fight it tooth and nail. They might succeed. They may go along with it before this is done, but they aren't going to go easy and they aren't going to go fast. What's that mean? It means you have to protect yourself. If the government won't go back to an asset-based monetary system, you can. You can start stacking up those coins, gold and silver coins. You can start stacking them up in your own home, in your own safety deposit box, wherever it is you want to keep them, your own safe, the mason jar in the backyard. You can go back on your own. You can go back independently. And if you do, sooner or later, you're going to have an opportunity to say, thank God, I've got some gold. Thank God, I've got some silver. Doesn't necessarily mean that you'll live happily ever after, but you're going to have a chance to feed yourself and your family. Worst case scenario, that may be how this works out. So, Melody, we have a minute left.
Oh, really? You giving me a whole minute?
Mm-hmm.
One thing I wanted to say about Zimbabwe is, the U.S. will do exactly what Zimbabwe did. They will just keep doing it and doing it. When you don't think that they can continue the system any longer, they'll change the laws. They'll create new programs. They'll be able to have another area of debt created until there is no end. And I do believe we're close to that end. I believe they are
get
close.
To a point, they have to admit they can't pay the debt.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't cancel it either, and there's the great dilemma.
If they could just cancel
the debt, it'd be easy enough.
They can do a lot. I'm not saying that they're going to be able to extend this another 5, 6, 10 years. Mm-hmm. No. I think the weight of it is going to collapse, but we get to the same place, just in a different...
Yeah, we're getting this. We're going to find ourselves in a situation similar to Zimbabwe, and then 10 years later, we may do it again. After it happens the first time, well, we'll try it again. We'll have politicians who will assure us it makes perfect sense. We're out of time. Want to thank you all for listening. Melody and I will be back on Monday. We hope you tune in at that time. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my